On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was Mitt Romney's day, after all, in Florida yesterday. A pile of money, a bare-knuckled brawl, and a big win.
Thank you to the people in this room and to the people all over Florida. Thank you tonight for this great victory.
That victory came at a price. Mitt Romney says the tough stuff only makes the GOP better prepared to take on Barack Obama. Newt Gingrich says the tough stuff, the fight isn't over. 46 states to go, he says. Oh, my. This hour on Point, Romney's big win in Florida and the race ahead. You can join the conversation. Is Mitt Romney now the inevitable GOP nominee? Will the conservative base rally or balk? Are you still holding a candle for Newt Santorum, Ron Paul, the president? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Washington is Karen Tumulty, national political reporter for The Washington Post. She was in Florida this week on the race. Karen, welcome back to the show. Great to have you.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
With me in the studio is Scott Hellman, staff writer for the Boston Globe. His new book with Michael Cranish, the big biography of yesterday's winner, the life story, the inside dope, is The Real Romney. Scott Hellman, it's great to have you here as well.
Good morning, Tom.
So, Karen, let me bring our listeners' questions straight away, straight to you. Here, Elizabeth says on Facebook, was Gingrich crushed? Well, I'm not so sure. He got 32% of the vote. Romney got 46. He had to spend $1 million a week to get it. What's just happened here, Karen? Is Gingrich crushed? He says he's not. Is he not? Is Romney it?
Well, this is certainly it was a big, big defeat. And Florida is the biggest state yet to vote. It is the most diverse state yet to vote. It was a closed Republican primary, which means that it was probably the best reflection we have seen to date of where the Republican Party is. And so all of those things are as important as the numbers in this victory. And the fact that, you know, Mitt Romney was able to address, I think, what people's main question about him is, which is, can he appeal to the conservative base of the party, which really doesn't trust his moderate record? And the answer last night would seem to be yes. He lost the most conservative voters to Newt Gingrich, but he brought over a lot of the people who consider themselves somewhat conservative. And Newt Gingrich was not able to run up the big margins with the evangelicals and with the Tea Party people that we've seen in places like South Carolina.
So is it over, Karen?
Oh,
I mean, Newt Gingrich would say, you elites, how can you even ask such a question? We've got 46 states to go.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. He should say that, too, because there is nobody who, more than the press, who wants Newt Gingrich to stay in this race, because it's going to get a lot less interesting if he has to get out. You know, there's other states, and there's still Super Tuesday coming in early March. So the race itself is going to go on for at least another month. But the fact is, after last night, it is getting harder and harder to see where Newt Gingrich's opening is going to come.
Scott Hellman, you have looked very deeply at Mitt Romney's life, going all the way back to when he was a son of the, you know, former one-time tryout guy for the White House. What face of Mitt Romney did you see emerge in this Florida chapter where he got pretty darn tough on the stump and certainly in his ads? What are we seeing here? What are the roots of this in the Romney story? Or is this, you know, is it hard for him to pull out Mad Dog Mitt?
I think it is hard to some extent. I mean, it's not in his nature to be a sort of slash and burn candidate like Newt Gingrich is. I mean, he is not a bomb thrower. In fact, that's really his appeal, right? He's the adult. He's the
Mr. Steady.
Mr. Steady. You can imagine him as president. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's tried to convey throughout this whole contest.
He was taking Pepto-Bismol every night, you know, trying to soothe his nerves, stomach after the hard days of slugging on the stump, or?
I do. I mean, I think they have been worried clearly by Newt's, I guess, second resurrection. But by the same token, I think if you go back, let's say a year ago, and you would have said to Mitt Romney and his people, here's where you'll be on February 1st. You will have won New Hampshire pretty big, mm-hmm. and you will have won Florida pretty big, mm-hmm. and you basically tied in Iowa. They would have said, fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's our game plan. So they were never going to play in South Carolina. They weren't even playing in Iowa until the very end, where it looked like it was wide open. So despite all this talk about, you know, conservative angst, which I think is real, Romney, I think, is just where he wants to be.
I want to look at how real that angst is and what kind of effect it might have. Last night, Mitt Romney saying, look, all this fighting, kind of bloody fighting this week, but nevertheless, it will end up being good for the GOP in the contest with Barack Obama. Here he is in Tampa, Florida, last night.
Primary contests are not easy, and they're not supposed to be. As this primary unfolds, our opponents in the other party have been watching, and they like to comfort themselves with the thought that a competitive campaign will leave us divided and weak. But I've got news for them. A competitive primary does not divide us, it prepares us, and we will win.
That may be, that maybe it will prepare them for a tough fight with Barack Obama later on. A lot of money being amassed on both sides here, but last night in Orlando, after his second place finish, 14 points behind Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich told supporters the race is not over, 46 states to go, as that cloud of signs around him said.
The same people who said I was dead in June and July and said I was gone after Iowa, who seemed totally quiet the night of the South Carolina victory, are now going to be back saying, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? So I just want to reassure them tonight. We are going to contest every place, and we are going to win, and we will be in Tampa as the nominee in August.
Stay tuned. We'll be in Tampa. We'll be the nominee. Scott, you're shaking your head a little bit. People shaking every which way. Let's hear from our listeners. Fort Mill, South Carolina. Connie, thanks for calling, Connie. You're on the air.
Oh, yes, thanks. I wanted to just say that I have a small business in South Carolina, mm-hmm. but I actually did absentee ballots in Florida. And I think that the people in South Carolina did not do the right thing. I think the religion got in the way, whereas the people from Florida did the exact correct thing. They saw the potential of Mr. Romney, Governor Romney, and they saw that he would actually help small businesses, and they discounted all of that. And I'm just absolutely thrilled. I was a longtime Democrat, and I switched over because I feel that he's going to help small businesses. And I am just thrilled. I think he's an excellent candidate.
And what do you say to the Gingrich line? He's not conservative enough, Connie. What do you say to that?
Oh, I think that that conservative line is really a code word for Mitt Romney's religion. So I just totally discount that. Newt Gingrich, he's a sore loser, and he just needs to go on about his business.
Go on about your business, Speaker Gingrich. We got it. Let's get one more right here. Thank you, Connie. Rick in Springfield, Massachusetts. Rick, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that I really think it's wrong for anyone in the news media even to ask the question, is Romney or anyone else the inevitable candidate? I'd like to see you folks remain totally neutral and not influence in any way the decisions of the voters as they're weighing which candidate that they're going to vote for.
Well, neutral I'm all for, Rick, but our job is to ask questions. I mean, and there is a political calculus out there. You can look at the money, but I take your point. You want it to stay open. You want a real debate. Why? Are you not satisfied yet, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not satisfied because I haven't seen any candidate speak to what I think are the real issues. You know, what are we going to do about defense? What are we going to do about our education system? Which is a retired educator, I can tell you, is not working anywhere near 100%.
Yeah.
In terms of efficiency, and it seems like this is a giant popularity contest where people are trying to say the right thing to get people to vote for them, as opposed to addressing mm-hmm. the actual issues that we need to solve to keep this country number one in the world.
Rick, I appreciate that call and that exact point, because a lot can get lost in just the heat of the contest here. I mean, Karen, first, to go to the popularity issue and who's saying what and whether the tough stuff is good for the GOP or not, Mitt Romney says it is. This is going to work out to our benefit. We'll come to the issues, but his negatives are going up. What does that say?
Well, his negatives are going up because this is becoming a very brutal campaign. But I would just sort of remind the caller that this is a Republican primary here.
Mm-hmm.
The differences on the issues are not that great among the candidates. They would all promised that they would cut spending. They all promised they would cut taxes. They all promised they would repeal Barack Obama's health care law. And if you go into the exit polls and see what Republican voters are looking for most in their candidates, mm-hmm. and in every single primary and caucus thus far, the one quality they are looking for the very most is a candidate who can beat Barack Obama in the fall. So, for us to, to criticize the media, which we certainly do deserve some criticism for covering this as sort of a personality and character contest, but the fact is that's what Republican voters are looking for.
Issues, tissues. They want a winner. Scott, that's how Mitt Romney has looked to position himself from the very beginning here. But he had a big wobble in that in South Carolina. And suddenly, with all the money stuff was coming out, all the Cayman Islands and all the rest, he's going to put back on those winner shoes. He did it again last night. Can he just put those on now, put his positions on the issues out there, wear the winner shoes, and stay on track?
I think he can, but I think to the point of the contested primary, I think Romney has a great point, and we saw this 4 years ago. I remember it very well. I'm sure Karen does, too. Mm-hmm. You heard this over and over again during
the Clinton
Obama
and before
Clinton
that, the Seven Dwarves.
Slugfest. Exactly. It went on for months, and it went on till June. And I remember paying attention to states that we didn't even know had primaries because they mattered.
You think
really
that made
late.
Obama stronger
I
then?
I think it made Obama a lot stronger. And I think to the
but,
stuff
but,
you
but
just...
But Newt Gingrich is a tougher hitter than Hillary was against Barack Obama.
But all the things you just brought up that have come up against Romney, I mean, let's just look at one analogy. Wouldn't Obama rather talk about Jeremiah Wright in March than in October? In October, he could say, hey, that came up in the primary. It's old news. I
so
think
let it
Romney
come
the
now.
Same.
The money, the bank accounts, all the rest, the taxes. Scott Hellman with the Boston Globe, co-author of The Real Romney. Stand by. Karen Tumulty with the Washington Post. We're talking about Mitt Romney's big win in Florida. Listeners, you can join us. Republicans, are you rallying to Romney? Are you holding out for somebody else? Holding out for Newt Gingrich? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Mitt Romney's big win in Florida yesterday, the Gingrich factor, the big money, the race ahead. Karen Tumulty's with us from the Washington Post, national political reporter there. Scott Hellman's with us, co-author with Michael Cranish of The Real Romney, a big inside dope all the way back to childhood look at the candidate who now claims to be the front runner, and he's got a big victory under his belt after Florida. Reporter for the Boston Globe, you can join us as well. What do you think? Looking at Florida, why did Romney win? Was it the man, his ideas, his money, his electability, his ad blitz? What does Mitt Romney stand for to you? What does Newt Gingrich stand for? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's get a caller right here, Sylvia, in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Sylvia, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am generally a Democratic person, but if it comes between Romney and Newt Gingrich, it'd be a cold day in hell that I would vote for Newt Gingrich. As far as I'm concerned, he does not care about the people. He's just got a big mouth. And there would be no way I would accept a mistress as our First Lady of the United States. That really is like, it would be a kick in the pants.
But Sylvia, you're kind of a Democrat at heart, so I guess it's not surprising.
I may change. I do that from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
If it came between Romney and Newt Gingrich, I would definitely go for Romney at this point.
Romney's your guy, and it sounds like you'd be more likely to go that way in the general election. So you may be representative of a whole lot of people watching this race and thinking about what their vote's going to be down the road. I appreciate that. Call one more right here, Mark in White River Junction, Vermont. Mark, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I would like to just make an observation that as I see these debates go on and on and on, what I'm hearing is there's got to be a winner and a loser. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong, somebody's strong, somebody's weak. As long as...
Ain't that America, Mark? Ain't that America? Winner, loser, strong, weak, isn't that...
Human being.
Yeah.
It's human. That's what we do when we experience conflict. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have another way to connect, that's what I'm looking for. And I see these guys who are brother Republicans demonizing each other, taking hostages, and it's just not the kind of grace that I want, would like somebody to bring to all the conflicts and the international fears that people speak about.
We got it, Mark. You want grace? A lot of Republicans want a strong conservative, certainly an alternative to Barack Obama. We're going to hear from a Republican strategist in just a second on that, but let's listen to Newt Gingrich himself talking about that last night. He didn't call and congratulate Mitt Romney, but he did thank the 500,000 Floridians who voted for him, and he tried to set the whole race up forward going this way.
I think Florida did something very important, coming on top of South Carolina. It is now clear that this will be a two-person race between the conservative leader, Newt Gingrich, and the Massachusetts moderate.
Oh, boy, that's a low blow. Kim Alfano joins us right now from Washington, Republican political strategist, president, CEO of Alfano Communications. Kim, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm good. You hear how Newt wants to frame this race forward going after Florida, the conservative Newt Gingrich versus the Massachusetts moderate Governor Mitt Romney.
Well, he's not going anywhere. But did we expect him to?
Well, I mean, he sure did in South Carolina.
There's a really big ego there.
There's a big ego, but you know there is a hunger in this country. We saw it in the Tea Party success in 2010 for a real, you know, red meat eating conservative in there. What happens to that tension? That's not Mitt Romney's reputation, however he was talking in the last couple of weeks.
There's not. I mean, there's a visceral anger towards the president. And I think Republicans really, really, really want someone to take out President Obama. It's not unlike the hatred that people had for President Bush. I mean, this does not look a lot different than what the race looked like on the Democratic side back when people were so angry with President Bush. So, I think that there needs to be some fight in our candidate, and this isn't bad, I don't think, for Mitt Romney to be tested in this way and to be, you know, for the fight to be brought out in him during this testing period. And if you notice, everybody who's kind of been on the rise has been called to this kind of fight, and everybody who's kind of taken their primary has been brought to this kind of level of you know, bring it.
Kim, what happens to all the angst that we've heard about for weeks and months now inside the GOP about Romney, though? What happens to that? Does it just go away? We want a winner. He's a front runner. We're all rallying here. I mean, we'd have plenty of conservatives have been on and called into this show to say he's not carrying my flag. He's not conservative enough for me. What happens to that tension, Kim?
I think he's right when he says this is making him a better candidate for the fall. I think he's right when he says, you know, you just want me to show you that I can do this, that I can take out Barack Obama. But I think at the end of the day, once he's been vetted through this process, I think conservatives are going to rally around him. I think it's going to be ABO, anybody but Obama, at the end of the day. They're not going to let Obama win. I think, like I said, if you remember, plenty of people wanted Hillary Clinton to be their nominee, but at the end of the day, they wanted more for George Bush to be gone. And that's what happened.
Anybody but Obama. Karen Tumbley, what about it? What do you see happening with that conservative urge for a real meat eater out there?
Well, I do think that if you look at some of the numbers, the fact is that last night Mitt Romney did a lot better among Tea Party voters, a lot better among religious voters than we'd seen him do in the past. But I'd like to call attention to one other thing that I mm-hmm. think was absolutely crucial to his victory last night, and that is women. In South Carolina, Newt Gingrich won the women's vote by about 5 percentage points.
Yep.
Last night, Mitt Romney won it by 24 percentage
wow.
points. And, you know, I was asking some of his strategists, you know, what is this about? Is it about, you know, Marianne Gingrich's TV appearance?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
what? Open marriage.
They said, no, they believe that, you know, that all their arguments that they have been making about how unreliable and erratic Newt Gingrich is
yep.
as a leader, they think that really strikes home with female voters, and it makes them very nervous about him. And this is, you know, this is also road testing their message for the fall, because Republicans traditionally have had problems appealing to women, and so they are trying to sort of portray Mitt Romney as sort of steady Eddie in a way that will really make women voters in particular feel comfortable with him.
Steady Eddie for the gals, though he won across so many sectors in Florida, every income group, every age group, every education level, among whites, among Latinos, Catholics, Protestants. You got all those, but not the conservatives and certainly not the women. Newt Gingrich came at him last night afterward from another angle as well. There's been a lot of talk about Mitt Romney's money. We'll talk with Scott Hellman more about that. But Newt Gingrich, very ready in kind of, almost Karl Marxian terms to make this, you know, the people versus the capital. Here's Newt.
We're going to have people power defeat money power in the next 6 months.
Okay. Scott Hellman, what does Mitt Romney do about the money issue here? He's got a lot of it. He's never apologized for it in the past. But in the Occupy era and in this Republican primary race, it's become a real issue. That money's not going away.
I think that this is what he has to fix first and foremost before figuring out how to appeal to conservatives, before his approach on the stump. I mean, if you go back over his career, this is something that has dogged him from the beginning. He lost that 1994 Kennedy race to Ted Kennedy for the Senate, in part because the Kennedy people absolutely eviscerated him, tagging him as this corporate raider who made a ton of money at workers'
expense.
Well,
it's ironic. Kennedy has plenty of money themselves, but
exactly.
His was fresher, newer.
But in that campaign, they did not have a good answer to that question, and they were stumped by it. And it's remarkable that we look at how many years later, and he's still not figured out a way to answer these questions effectively. All the things that he said about, you know, he likes to fire people and, I didn't make very much money in my speaking fees and it was $375,000
right.
Or people, you know, it's just the politics of envy when people talk about my money. He has to figure out a way to talk about his success in business without turning people off, especially, as you said, in a year when income inequality and the 99 versus the 1%, I mean, that is the issue in many ways. And there's nobody that represents the 1% more than Mitt Romney. And he's got to shed that.
Kim Alfano, how does he do that in a race where Newt promises to stick around for 46 more states talking about people power versus money power?
Absolutely. He's absolutely right. He does need to fix that. I mean, he has got to figure out this is where Santorum kind of helps. He's got to figure out how to talk about it with that kind of down home passion that Santorum has really got down pat.
Santorum, who's ready to absolve Gingrich of his lobbying and Mitt of his money, saying, no problem.
Exactly. I think you know, this has been a really good process for Mitt. Gingrich is kind of like the fire at Mitt's toes, and Santorum is kind of the nice guy that can get in touch with the people and touch their hearts. I think if he can learn from these two guys, Mitt can come out of this a really strong candidate. He's got to look people in the eye and say, yep, I am the American dream. I'm the guy that started from nothing, because he did.
Certainly not. His dad was a very high-paid car executive.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not ashamed of being a part of America and doing what it took to capitalize on that. And this is what everybody should try to do. And he should talk. One of my clients is Mitch Daniels, and he should talk like Mitch Daniels does. I'm not about giving people opportunity, but I want everyone to have a chance at climbing up on that ladder and climbing right up it.
It's just a little tougher in a period when that opportunity has appeared to many people, no small number of Republicans as well, to have skinnied down a little. Hang on, Kim. We've got a lot of callers here. Danielle in Woodward, Iowa. Danielle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Question for your panelists, a prediction, possibly. When will Newt Gingrich complain about the Citizens United decision? I'm from Iowa. It was an ugly campaign, and I understand that Florida was much uglier.
How can he complain, Danielle? I mean, you know, he's got one casino mogul and his wife who are basically bankrolling his entire campaign. They couldn't have done that without Citizens United.
But money ultimately is what tanked his potential win in Florida.
Yeah.
He could not. It was all about money. It wasn't about conservative versus moderate. It was money.
That Romney bankroll that just steamrolled him on the negative ads, 5-1 spending in Florida. Karen, does Newt Gingrich, I mean, he's talking about the power of people versus the power of money. And yet he had two big $5 million injections, 5 + 5 = 10, that saved his bacon here.
Yeah, it is. These super PACs have had a sort of an odd effect this year, I think, in that they've kept some of these candidacies on life support. But it is, you know, first of all, very ironic to hear Newt Gingrich talk about the, you know, people versus the money, given that it's an almost exact echo of Al Gore's convention speech in 2000 about the people versus the powerful.
The head spins.
It is. And interestingly, on Citizens United, the person who's actually complained about it has been Mitt Romney. You know, he hasn't directly, but he did say that he's uncomfortable with a system where, you know, these people can be out there with ads on his behalf and that aren't necessarily speaking for him.
Yeah, cry me a river, but he could finance his campaign out of his back pocket.
Well, that is also true. And, of course, it's interesting, too, that, you know, once Newt Gingrich managed to get a little super PAC money going, some of his ads weren't exactly, just sticking strictly to the truth either.
Kim, how does Newt deal with this? Because he's going to have to solicit more big money donations on both sides of that line to stay competitive at all.
Well, he is he's brilliant at looking you right in the face and complaining about just about anything. You know, he is of all the people who can complain about hypocrisy, he can do it.
Listen to you, the Washington elite. He's talking about biting back.
He is a master thespian of the greatest order. And he's great to watch. I mean, he is great fun. And
is he going to take your Republican Party apart, Kim? He is fierce on that stump, and he's going to stay out there. And you can feel that he's got a grudge match attitude toward it as of last night.
No, he's not.
He's calling you the elite now. He's saying he's going to take down his own party if he gets in office. He said, forget about party. It's all about the people.
He won't, and here's why. The party is smart, and the people in our party are smart. And we, you know, it's great entertainment and it's great fun, but if you've noticed, good politics and good basics get it done. And Mitt Romney will come out because he's good at what he's doing and the basics have worked. And every time he's gotten back on his game and gotten back to the basics, it's worked. We will be better for it at the end of it.
Well, we'll see. Let me go to Nancy in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Nancy, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to make my point is about the money that was spent. I am in my early 30s, and I'm a naturalized citizen. This will be my
Great.
First vote, and I really paid close attention
Awesome.
To the election and tried to understand and I'm proud to be American.
Great.
But it is the whole thing is really turned off for me. The first thing is I'm not electing anybody to be the best husband of the year so that everybody is attacking Newt Gingrich based on his relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is I'm not electing someone to be a pastor of the country, which is Mitt Romney's religion. What really turned off to me is the fact that they use all this money attacking each other instead of making points. Tell us what you could do better than Obama. You know, make your ideas and what you could do better known and run based on that instead of attacking each other and pulling old baggages. We all have made mistakes in life.
Hey, Nancy, we've got it. There's that hunger again for a recipe for what you really want to do. And you're fine with Gingrich on that, on the personal front. I've got one more piece of tape here. This is Jane Hayes. I want to put this to you, Kim. Retired school teacher, Milton, Florida, telling NPR she was frustrated with the recent line of Republican presidential nominees.
Republicans that are conservative need to get the message to the establishment that don't give us weak candidates. You gave us McCain and he was weak. You gave us Dole and he was weak. You gave us Romney and he's weak. And somewhere along the line, we have to stop and say no more.
Kim Alfano, does that make you say, ouch, you gave us McCain, he was weak, Dole, he was weak, Romney and he's weak?
Well, at the end of the day, Republican ideals are going to be better than Barack Obama's ideals, and we are going to win the next presidency. So,
Dole didn't do it. McCain didn't do it.
Yeah, but we're in a pretty great position right now, so we're going to do it.
Feeling good, feeling strong, and you think
the
party's going
to
rally?
We deserve to be you know scaled as a party and sent to the woodshed.
I've just got you 20 seconds more. Do you think the GOP can somehow pull the plug on Newt, or is he now out there on his own, you know, the ever-ready bunny just going all the way?
If he goes all the way, it's at his own peril, I think. I mean, he really will do himself in as a credible part of the party if he really does want to take the party down. If it becomes personal and visceral, he's shame on him.
Well, seemed a little visceral last night, but we'll see as it goes. Kim Alfano, Republican political strategist, joining us today from Washington. Kim, thank you as always.
Thanks.
Karen Tumulty with The Washington Post. Please stand by. Scott Hellman, co-author of The Real Romney, with me in the studio. Listeners, you can join us. What does Mitt Romney stand for to you? Does Newt Gingrich still have a chance? How would Mitt Romney stack up against Barack Obama? That may be the real question here. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about Mitt Romney's big win in Florida, the Gingrich factor, the big money, the race ahead, the issues coming there. You can join us. How do you think Mitt Romney would stack up against Barack Obama if that's the way it goes? And is this race all about the money? Who's got it? Who gets ugly with it? Is the GOP race over? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Scott Hellman is with us, co-author of The Real Romney, big biography of the man all the way from childhood up. Reporter for the Boston Globe. Karen Tumulty is with us from The Washington Post, national political reporter. They've been down in Florida this week. Let's go all the way to the other end of the country, Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska. Warren is calling. Hi, Warren. You're on the air.
Yes, Tom. I think what is being ignored is that the elephant in the room is not the economy stupid. It is the black man in the White House stupid. But the thing is that President Obama then took a country that was going through a nightmare, and before you start healing, you have to take care of that nightmare first before the country starts healing. Now that he done took care of that nightmare, and he's having the country now come back up on his feet, you never hear conservatives say the positive things that the country has gone through or what it has went through with President Bush.
Warren, I hear you. Let me ask you a question. We hear where you're coming from. You're friendly to President Obama. You're sympathetic to what he's been up against. If you'd like him to win, who would you rather see him run against? Mitt Romney? Newt Gingrich? Paul Santorum, who, Warren? Who do you think he could defeat?
So it's not the idea that you who you like to see him run against. It's what do you have a qualified Republican that can run the country, and you just don't have those type of people running in the Republican Party right now. I tell you, the closest person that has the credentials, that has a head on his shoulder and have family and values, is Rick Santorum. But the Republican Party won't put a person like that with values and a good head on his shoulders like that. They have to take somebody like a person who he dodged the draft. He went to Europe and because he didn't want to go fight for his country.
Hey, he was a missionary, Warren, Mitt Romney. We'll talk about that, but I appreciate your call from Anchorage. Stay warm there. We're going now all the way south to at least a congressman out of Texas. He's in Washington today. Michael Burgess is with us, Republican congressman for Texas's 26th district, covers the northern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, supports Newt Gingrich for president. Congressman Burgess, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me back on.
The word is it's over. Newt's got the money. He's got the position that can win in the general election. Newt is too far out on a limb. Can't do it. Do you agree?
No, obviously not. As you heard last night, there's 46 states to go. Guess what? Newt Gingrich is going to do great in Texas. He'll probably do very well in Oklahoma. He'll do well in Louisiana. It's possible he will win Michigan. Governor Romney's previously owned home state.
Yep.
So there's a lot to be played yet in this election process. So please, this is not the party selecting. This is the people selecting, and that's an important point. I appreciate the previous caller's position, but this is not the Republican Party picking the nominee. These are the Republicans, the people who identify themselves as conservatives in this country, who are doing the evaluation and the vetting process, and they're coming to their own conclusions. Obviously, it was a different conclusion in South Carolina than it was in Florida. Great, people have spoken. Let's move on now to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Why not Romney, Congressman Burgess?
Well, 2.5 years ago, I went to Speaker Gingrich and said, look, sir, you are the only one who can hold your own on the debate stage with the President of the United States. A daunting task to take on a popular incumbent president. He was much more popular in November 2009 than he is today. But still, he is going to be it's a formidable task to ask of anyone. And I think Speaker Gingrich brings all of those qualities to the table that can get that job done. I mean, look, you want to talk, the previous gentleman talked about experience. Newt Gingrich, a speaker, was a part of the House of Representatives that created 11 million new jobs. They balanced the budget for the first time in forever and created a budget surplus with even though the failure of the balanced budget amendment in the Senate was a big blow, they said, let's govern as if it had happened and embarrass the Senate to go along with us. And guess what? It worked. He challenged the authority. He had challenged the establishment. And it worked. It accrued to the people's benefit.
What about the erratic charge? A lot of your fellow Republicans were tagging Newt Gingrich with that this week and have for a long time.
Well, you know, that's a story they're trying to push out there and hope that it gets legs. Realistically, any of us can be hit with that tag at various points. You know, Governor Romney has changed positions on things. Is that erratic, or is it just having rolled with the flow? It depends on how you want to characterize it, how you want to frame it. If you want me to call it erratic, so be it. I will. Governor Romney's behavior has been erratic on issues such as, is he pro-life or pro-choice? Governor Romney's issue has been erratic on creating the largest government-run health care program to date in the state of Massachusetts, and now he is supposed to go on the stage and debate Barack Obama on the vagaries of Obamacare? But, I mean, it ain't going to happen.
But if Obama is so vulnerable, why does it matter so much, you know, exactly what the style of debate's going to be? I mean, Republicans are saying President Obama's got a huge target on him here for defeat in November. Why does it matter if it's Gingrich or Romney in that case?
Well, you did not hear me say that. I said he is a popular president, maybe not as popular as he was in November 2009, but still an incumbent president who has personal appeal to people and has an ability. Let's acknowledge that. He had an ability on the stage when he debated Hillary Clinton. We all forget how rough all that was a mere 4 years ago. My golly, the month of February in the state of Texas.
Rugged.
It was rugged. In fact, I characterized it in my book, Doctor in the House, because it was so rugged. The debate over whether mandates are the way to go or not. And I would point out that now President Obama argued that mandates were not a good idea. Now he's embraced them. Maybe he's erratic.
Well, he was modeling on Mitt Romney's Massachusetts plan there. Michael Burgess, Congressman from the 26th District of Texas. Dr. Burgess, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Karen Tomley, what do you think is going to happen to that cheering squad for Newt Gingrich as this thing rolls forward?
Well, one thing, though, that Congressman Burgess was making the point that as though debates are going to be so important this fall, they will be important, but I do think, and a lot of Republicans think, that they've become overly fixated on debates because there have been 19 of them in this primary season. There are only going to be 3 of them in the fall, and one with the running mates. And so I don't think that they are necessarily going, you know, that their top priority here ought to be somebody who can stand behind a podium and debate. And my recollection, by the way, too, is that Barack Obama was not such a terrific debater. In fact, some of his worst moments in the primary came on debate stages, where at one point he whiffed an answer on what would be the first thing you'd do if there were another 9/11. There was his famous, you know, you're likable enough, Hillary moment.
Mm-hmm. And it came across kind of cool when people wanted a little more passion sometimes. But yet, and it's interesting, Karen, because the GOP, the Republicans talk a lot about how this president is a prisoner of the teleprompter. If that's true, why should he be a threat in the debate open forum?
And where he is a threat is on messaging and on, on the larger message. He's a threat on organization. He's a threat on resources. And he is a threat on just the sheer power of the incumbency.
Scott Hillman, there's been a lot of opposition research done in this, and Mitt Romney was unpacking all this stuff, and so was Newt Gingrich, about who owned shares and what, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and all that. Now, Romney's got a lot of fresh material on the table in his recent tax returns and the Cayman Island accounts, in just people coming to grips with the scale of his wealth. But if he's the guy and we get into it here, you've done the big biography on him, what are people going to drag up out of that Mitt Romney life story and tag on him? You heard our caller from Anchorage, Alaska, saying, oh, he dodged the draft and went off to France. He was a Mormon missionary there as a young man, of course. What are people going to pull up?
I don't think that there really is a bombshell like that in his background. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I think that the business thing, as we talked about earlier, he's got to figure out a way to talk about that. And I think that's probably his biggest liability. But all these things that you see. I
Which
mean,
is ironic because Republicans traditionally don't have to apologize for
exactly.
being business people.
But if you look at his family life, you know, who he is as a father, as a husband, I mean, he's incredibly generous and charitable. If you ask any of his friends, they will all tell you many stories about how he has helped them in small ways and large ways he doesn't always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of nice stories, I think, in Mitt Romney's background. I don't think we're going to see some big skeleton come out of the closet. I'd be shocked.
Jerry in Auburn, Alabama. Jerry, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Just been listening to everybody. And if the worst thing they can pull out of the hat on Mitt Romney is he has been a successful businessman, I don't know how you can hold that against him. You look at the top Democrats, they're all attorneys. You look at the top Republicans, they're all businessmen. They know about jobs. They know how to run things.
And what about when Newt Gingrich says, you know, ignoring his change of heart on all these things, saying he's a pro-abortion, you know, health care reforming moderate from Massachusetts? What about that, Jerry?
I really don't have a take on somebody's personal choices as far as abortion, whether he came up with the basic outline for Obamacare. He's a guy that's been in the hot seat, and he deals with it.
You ready to vote for him?
He's got my vote.
There's one from Alabama, from Mitt Romney. We'll keep an eye on that. Jerry, thank you. One more, Augusta, Georgia. Noah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I don't think that Romney could win against Obama simply because he can't connect with the average man. If you look at Romney's family, he's, aside from his own personal business, his family actually ranks back as one of the oldest dynasties, almost the Pratt-Romney family. He was a cousin, little known fact I never saw in the news. He was a cousin of John Huntsman. I think that he can definitely take out Gingrich because he's much more personable on the Republican side, but he's going to have a really tough fight if he does get the GOP nod.
Noah, I appreciate your call. Karen, this issue of connecting with the common man, that has been an issue for Mitt Romney over time, even before his wealth became such an issue. I mean, he's not a natural-born flesh presser.
It has, and I think that Americans don't expect him to apologize for his wealth, because, of course, that is something everybody else aspires to, too.
Mm-hmm.
But what he needs to convey is that he really understands the struggles that Americans are going through. And I would just remind you that, you know, one of the presidents in modern history who did that best also came from the 1%, and that was Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Yeah,
he came
yeah.
from a very patrician family, mm-hmm. a lot of money, and yet people going through this terrible depression really felt as though, you know, he had their best interests in heart. And I think that is the challenge.
But he famously had that touch where Mitt Romney, you can just see him squirm on the stump when he's got to get, you know, jiggy with it. It's hard.
It is hard, but again, there are, it just feels, Bill Clinton too, I mean, it didn't
oh yeah, Elvis.
But just that ability for people to look at a candidate and think, you know, he gets it. He understands.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the big Florida outcome. This is On Point. Scott Hellman, our caller talks about his family, and the big story in the last week was Mitt talking about, you know, hey, my father, I can identify with immigrants, I can identify with Latinos, my father was from Mexico. Remind us of that story. How did that happen?
Right. So Mitt Romney's family was really one of the founding families of Mormonism. I mean, fascinating stuff in the sort of pioneer era. They're being driven out of town after town as Mormons are persecuted.
Were they driven out of Nauvoo, Illinois?
Driven out of Nauvoo, driven out of Utah, eventually flee to Mexico mm-hmm. because at that point they were holding on to polygamy as a key practice.
And they could practice that in Mexico, but not in the U.S.
That, exactly. So Mitt Romney's father was actually born in a Mormon colony in Mexico, came here when he was
how many
five.
Wives did his father have?
So Mitt Romney's grandfather was not a polygamist.
That's sort of where it stopped.
Okay.
If you go beyond that, there were polygamists in the family, right?
Okay.
So it's close to him, but it's not that close to him.
Yeah.
If you look at George Romney, he's sort of the fascinating – he's the bridge, right? He's the bridge between the old-style kind of frontiersman who, you know, had this rough-and-tumble life across the plains, and then the Mitt Romney we see today who's wealthy, lives in a nice house in the suburbs.
Why did George – that's his dad – when he was so young, why did that family come back from Mexico to the U.S.?
I believe they had to flee because of the Mexican Revolution. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was necessarily Mormon – related.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have to flee. Eventually, of course, he made a great name for himself in the auto industry, really built himself up from very little.
The head of American Motors. I was reading what back in the early 60s, in the early 60s, he was making $500,000 a year. That's a lot of dough.
And he was famously very blunt-spoken, blustery, would say what was on his mind, very different from the son in that way. He was somebody who was willing to speak his mind, and he would take the consequences and often did.
Do you feel, Scott, do you feel Mitt Romney being one of these guys like George W. Bush in a way, who was out to redeem his father's, ultimately HW's loss here when he went for a second term? Is Mitt trying, is he doing this for dad?
I think there's a little part of that that's true. I mean, I don't want to go too far in psychoanalyzing him, but
you got a whole book right here. It's a fat one.
His whole life, from the time he was very young, he idolized his father. Everything he said, he hung on his every word. He was at his knee when his dad was at the Michigan State Capitol, you know, late night legislative sessions. He was there. I mean, he throughout his whole life, and friends will tell you this, he has patterned what he did after his father. So I do think to some extent he is looking at this like, this is my chance to sort of avenge that loss. The big thing that Karen was just talking about, I mean, George was much better at connecting with people than Mitt was, and that's, I think, a key difference. It was a great story, a great little anecdote from 1994 where there's campaign footage on C-SPAN of Kennedy and Romney both after a campaign event. Kennedy sort of lumbers off the stage. He sees a guy with a cigar hanging out of his mouth,
Ted
and he
says,
I used to smoke those, you know, and the guy laughs, and it's this perfect Kennedy moment, right?
Yeah.
Romney, they show walking up to a woman outside a convenience store in Waltham outside of Boston. And she starts to walk away, and he says, "Don't walk away. I'm going to shake your hand anyway." And she sort of turns and puts her hands to her face.
Yeah.
And then I guess in an attempt to sort of be funny, says, "Oh, I know. You haven't got your makeup on yet."
Okay.
And you see her. She says, I do. I do.
Oh.
And it just gets worse and worse. And then he finally just says, you know, you do. Good to see you. And he walks away. And 20 years later, we could still sell some of the same stories about his inability to just – have that human touch. And I don't know, honestly, if he should try to figure out or if he should just acknowledge that he's not that type of politician.
This is not the quick connect, human touch kind of guy, but he was a big winner in Florida. Karen, how do you think the Obama camp is feeling today about what they see emerging on the GOP side?
Well, I think they're probably feeling pretty good, in part because Newt Gingrich has now given them so many sound bites as to what a terrible person Mitt Romney is. They can, you know, they can just cue those up and have them coming out of Mitt Romney's lips in their ads for this fall's campaign. But they know what they're running against is a tough economy.
Yeah, above all, and we'll see how that one rolls out, see how much they're willing to make Newt Gingrich speak for them in the fall, if that's where we go. Karen Tumbledy with The Washington Post, national political reporter there. Thank you so much for your time and thoughts today, Karen. Great to have you here.
Thank you, too.
And Scott Hellman, co-author with Michael Cranish of The Real Romney. Terrific in-depth biography of he who may well be the Republican nominee. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for being here. We'll be watching. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.